Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Boxingvoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another late night edition of the Boxing Voice. It's 11 p.m. Eastern time, and the Mayweather-McGregor All Access, the first episode, aired tonight. And we want to get your guys' initial thoughts. What did you think? Was it entertaining? Did it do the job for you? I'll give my thoughts after. Obviously, I bring on my co-hosts and we go back and forth with it. We're going to head on out to the Golden State over in California and get on with the hipster.
Dollar D. Beyonce production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
Fuck that. Conor McGregor.
BoxingVoice.com.
You know me, Larry. From a wicked entrance, from a flip over the rock, into a knockout. Now, the main thing is, I just help the guy. I wish.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, the hipster's here. Haters beware. And the more and more of this fight and this promotion is building up, the more and more I realize I'm not the target demographic. The guy that's knowledgeable in both MMA and boxing, that knows these two characters very well, that's seen every press conference beforehand and the press tour, this episode wasn't for me. But for every casual out there, for everyone that did not really watch every press conference or maybe didn't watch a single one, only watch highlights of them on online or maybe on ESPN or Fox Sports, this probably did a great job. I mean, let's be honest, the quality of All Access is still so superb that it does draw me in just because of the quality. But the story is old for me, but I know for newcomers, this is going to sell. This is. The way they're able to play up the animosity and these two guys' lifestyles and the otherworldly personas they have, I thought it displayed that very well overall in the show. Again, I just don't think I was meant to watch this. Casuals will love this, but again, I'm not a casual.
I don't understand. What do you mean by you weren't the targeted demographic? Why not? I mean, you're everything they want. You're a boxing fan and an MMA fan.
I'm going to watch this regardless. So they're not trying to get me.
That they need you to enhance the water cooler conversations.
I think we already do. Like, hardcores of the sports, and I think we can even ask our callers this, you know, do their casual fans ask them about this fight? If so, then it doesn't matter if we're watching this or if we're entertained by this.
I think it matters now.
Because we already know about it. We already know these characters. So when our casual fans go up to us and say, hey, did you know Mayweather had a fur coat at a press conference and said this? Like, we already know that. So we don't need to see this All Access. But I think every casual that watches this All Access is going to be bought into it. The grandeur they showed of this press tour, the way they made it seem so big and out of this world, I think every casual is going to be invested in this fight.
I don't know.
That's what they're trying to get is people that watch Sunday football that don't watch fights. The person that just watched, the only boxing fight they've seen in the last 20, 30 years maybe was Mayweather Pacquiao. That's the person they're going for. They're not going for me. They're not going for you, Ness. I don't know if they're even going for any hardcore demographic. I think that
logic is stupid. That sounds like Bob Arum saying, you know, fight fans don't care about undercards.
Casual care about undercards.
I think that Steven Espinoza is 1,000% targeting you. And myself, because again, I think that we enhance those conversations. You know, I will use this as a reference to someone, and they're like, "Hey, Mayweather McGregor." I'm like, "Oh, did you see the All Access?" I will definitely recommend this. I just want to go ahead and say, "Hey, slaphead!" Yo, McGregor was killing him in this shit.
See, like right there, like you are casual in one sport at least. You're casual for MMA in the truest sense. Like you don't watch pay per views, you don't watch UFC fights. You're the casual of the casual, where you just know some guys' names. Really, that's it. You're that target MMA fan that they're trying to get, or the boxing fan, I should say, that doesn't know McGregor. You know, this is the first time you've ever seen McGregor in this sort of documentary-like style or format. I've seen this going on 4 years now. So
You've never seen this.
No, I've seen the behind-the-scenes of McGregor. So nothing's new here. Just like for you. Hold on. Let me finish.
And he said that it's never been like this for him.
You're not understanding what I'm saying here. I know the characters. I just like how you're sick of Mayweather sometimes. During the press tour, you were so sick of Mayweather. You were. You were sick of the hard work, dedication. You were sick of the points of the easy work. You were sick of that. You know why? Because you've seen it for 20 years. Just like I've seen McGregor be McGregor for 4 years at least. I'm just used to it now. So again, it's not going after me. It's going after casuals. I don't understand why this is sort of hard to understand, that a guy like me who knows both guys so well, who has been exposed to both guys so well because they're the biggest combat sports stars of my lifetime, and I've been a hardcore fan of both sports, I've already seen this. Nothing they showed here is something I haven't seen. Let's just be honest.
For me, it's
something I haven't seen. For you, it's different.
In a literal sense, it's something I haven't seen because I felt like they gave us a lot of behind the scenes views, camera views, and a lot of behind the scenes audio mic, a lot of mic stuff, a lot of audio that we didn't get to hear in the past. A lot of the face off audio. I really enjoyed I don't know if I want to say enjoy, but it definitely, I guess I did enjoy it, and at the same time was kind of, it was a bit like, I don't know, a letdown is the best thing I can say when hearing both Mayweather and McGregor kind of go over rehearsals of what they were going to do and say. You know, Mayweather huddled his TMT body protectors, bodyguards, and he's like, "Yo, when I say Voltron, y'all gonna get, you know, together," and they're like, "How?" And he's, "No, like this," and he's like even showing them how to lock their arms. So I don't know, I guess I didn't need to see that, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy that I did get to see that behind the scenes. You know what I mean? I'm also happy I got to see in the Toronto stop. You know, I really thought it was just Drake showing love to McGregor. But Drake was also in Mayweather's dressing room. I didn't know that. So, you know, that was good for me. I don't know, just, you know, little things. But I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting a press city or press tour recap. And that's what it felt like.
Exactly what this was.
They gave us very little boxing footage. Like, you just seen, like, McGregor, you know, doing a little bit of pad work and going through the ropes, you know, in and out the ring. That's it. And I was like, yo, that's a letdown. No origin story. You know, I don't know anything more about McGregor than I did an hour ago.
Well, good thing is that it's a four-part series, and already it was very obvious that they're going off the press tour now. Like, that, they're over that. Like, this episode is purely to get everyone caught up to speed. For anyone that was not paying attention to the press tour, this episode was for them specifically, was to get you caught up on what's happening, the what has been said between these two guys. And I'm assuming the next episode is going to go into the training. They previewed Paulie. So I'm assuming we're going to get something on Paulie Malignaggi and something on that sparring, if we're going to see sparring footage. I don't know, but we saw Paulie in the preview for the next episode. I'm assuming they're still going to get into the backstory of both these guys. They do that for every Mayweather fight. Not as much, but they still do. They did it for the Marcos Maidana fight, for example. So, especially with the four-part series, I think we're definitely getting to the backstory of McGregor. And for a guy like you, or anyone that really doesn't know McGregor yet, I know that's what you sort of wanted. All I would say MMA fans coming into this don't necessarily want that, though. They may want something else. I don't know what that is.
I get that they went this direction, because imagine giving us an origin story, then episode two being, you know, this review of all the press conference. We, you know, it'd be stale footage. So I get it. But whether it would have been episode two or episode one, I still feel like this is stale footage. You know, did I get a little bit more? Was I able to see the Floyd Mayweather Sr. and Conor McGregor, you know, altercation in higher quality, you know, camera and HD with better audio? Yes. But did I see it already on, you know, multiple boxing media outlets? Absolutely. So I think that they needed to, for the second one, they have to do better. That's basically what I'll say. They have to do better for the second one. They have to give us origin for the second one. They have to show us training from McGregor. It's like my friend said, he's tired of Floyd winning, so he wants to see him lose. So the guy that we need to be invested in is McGregor, and they need to do that. They need to present those situations so that we can start to, you know, relate to him a little more, I guess.
The one thing that I liked from this episode, and it's very specific, it was something I mentioned on an earlier episode about this entire fight, was that McGregor's really coming for that number one superstar spot. Regardless of winning or losing, he's coming for that spot as the number one guy in combat sports, the number one guy in sports. And he even said that. He said that to Mayweather. I think it was at the New York press conference, and what they showed us in this episode. You know, you hear McGregor saying, "I'm Money McGregor. I'm the new money."
Yeah. I see. So
like, he's like, "You're gonna call me Money from now on."
They even use captions for that.
Yeah, and I think that was like confirmation of this is the plan. That was the plan of getting this fight, was that McGregor wants to be the guy. When you think of boxing, MMA, whatever, of combat sports, you think of McGregor, not Mayweather. That's what he's coming for, regardless of winning or losing. And I think that's interesting that that seems to be maybe a focus more than winning. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's how Showtime is also painting McGregor, right? They're like, wow, Mayweather was gone, this guy took his spot as the superstar fighter. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. They're doing what they need to do. Like I said, I semi-enjoyed it. I felt like they could have done better. But I guess it's a four-part series. You know, everyone's a critic. Had they went a different direction, we'd probably still not be, wouldn't be happy. Do you got any final thoughts or anything? Should we go out to the phone lines?
Another thing I sort of noticed in this episode was something that we floated out, that Mayweather's really just laughing at McGregor. And he even said so as well behind the scenes that, I think he said something along the lines of, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, notice that he's responding every time I speak. That's because I'm in his head and I don't talk when he talks. You know, he basically said that. And I think a lot of our notions or takeaways from the press tour were sort of confirmed in this episode.
And it was like his little ramble, right? When he was trying to, I don't know who was there, and he's trying to tell him, like, you know, you got to give him different looks. You can't always let him know how you coming.
But that was Drake. That was Drake.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just kept repeating himself, like, you know, so they think I'm going to come this way, but then I come this way. But then I might come the same way they was thinking, but then I come there. And I'm like, what is Floyd talking about? But it is that. He instead of we getting the typical in-your-face Floyd, choke you at the weigh-in Floyd, you know, he's more laid back. Well, he tried to be anyway. You know, that final UK one, McGregor had lit a fire on them, and that's why Floyd tried to get those microphones, and you just hear McGregor like, I'm too fast for you. Yo, McGregor got some good one-liners for sure, man. Definitely some good one-liners. I also like the scene. And again, remember, they need to make him our hero because so many people are like my cousin. I'm tired of Floyd winning. I just want to see him lose. So there's that scene where Floyd's in the private airport.
Yeah.
Relaxing with his family. He's chilling. And he chooses to say hello to Connor, who just walked in a semi-disrespectful fashion, in a manner in which could cause some sort of verbal altercation. Connor took the high road, kept walking. Once he got outside amongst his friends, he said, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, go back and watch it. It's on YouTube now. He basically said, you see this guy, you know, saying that to me in front of his family. I'm not going to disrespect a man in front of his family and with his daughter there. But you see what he did, and he just kept walking to the plane, and obviously the two flight attendants were waiting with an Irish steamed birthday cake for Mr. Conor McGregor. I also really enjoyed that New York scene. I mean,
One, we didn't really hear the crowd at all in New York, so this was like the first time we ever really got to hear audio of the crowd. So we got to hear really how they felt, and they were way more pro Conor than what I originally thought. I mean, I viewed it as a very pro Mayweather crowd going away from that press conference.
Dude, is that this guy's swagger is on 100?
It's on 1,000, dude. It's on 9,000.
Like, first of all, those were the behind the scene cameras. He walked Fifth Ave truly with no shirt and then bought the mink. I thought he came with that. I thought a stylist, because on this stage for this type of thing, maybe you get a stylist. You know what I mean? Floyd is a brand, so he's going to wear everything TMT.
A billboard. He's a walking billboard.
He doesn't necessarily need a stylist because everything is his own brand. But McGregor, first time on this grand stage. This is the big leagues right now. And only he and Mayweather can be there. It's not like, you know, obviously Mayweather in the previous fights has been on the big leagues, but what I'm saying is together they've made something that we haven't seen before, but he worked it. Watching it again through these lenses of All Access, that outfit was bomb. He got that off. I mean, it was hot as fuck, but yo, he worked that mink, bro. He worked that mink. And really, I know 30,000, but really I was waiting to see like what's going to happen with this mink, because we seen the rumors or the photos of Connor with another mink with the price tag or the ticket from the store still there, kind of like how the women do, wear it today, return it tomorrow. So I didn't know whether or not this guy was, you know, receiving this mink again. This is a big press conference. Any major department store could have been like, listen, Connor, here's the outfit. You can just wear it. You can just have it, because they need that endorsement, that self-publicity. Plenty of things could have taken place. Like that suit. I'm pretty sure he didn't pay for that fucking suit. That was that suit maker's.
But he didn't pay for the coat, because remember, he took it.
Allegedly, yeah. Allegedly, he did pay for the coat, and he did take it on the plane. So.
Yeah, he took it on the plane. So, I mean, it's very hard to say that it would be allegedly, because how could he?
Well, I mean, the store could have also given it to him, because look at all the publicity that the store gets.
You mean just like a free coat? I'm saying like what? That?
Hell yeah.
I don't think any store is going to give a $30,000 coat away for free.
I mean, you're right. Yo, I have to say, in that scene where Floyd is with his, I don't know. Connor says his daughter's there. I don't see it. What I see is like five badass chicks. I'm talking. I don't even know where they came from. That's not the regular girls. He must be bringing them. What's that spot he got in Vegas? We got to go. Check
collection. He has a girl collection, man. So yeah, like,
he must be bringing them with him. These ain't the regular housewives he usually have around him.
I mean, God knows it's Floyd.
It's just the wives, I mean, right? Floyd, man. But I liked it also. All Access tried to show us, hey, he's not too different from Floyd. And they showed us his New York antics, walking Fifth Avenue with no shirt, buying the $30,000 mink, driving around in a drop top Bentley coupe with his boys. So, you know, Khanna's a bit of a playboy. And they also went to that infamous picture, the one that Muhammad Ali did in front of the bank vault and Khanna copied. You know, so, you know, they're showing his both bad boy styled lifestyle as well, right?
Yeah, and Khanna's always sort of emulated superstars, whether it be Floyd or Ali or Jordan or, you know, Macho Man Savage, you know, Hulk Hogan. You know, whoever is the star that, you know, has been in sports or entertainment, he's emulated them. His infamous walk, he took that from Vince McMahon, the owner of the WWE. He famously started that. So Connor's always sort of emulated stars. And the guy he's emulated the most, in my opinion, has always been Mayweather. So I like that they're actually even said that, that these guys are a lot more alike than what we think, because they are. I mean, we have one guy that basically emulated the other.
Definitely, bro. I think that if we missed anything on this immediate reaction, it was just that. It's not necessarily a review. It's just our reaction, our initial reaction, and yours as well. We're going to get to the callers on what we saw. And again, final thoughts as well. I guess I'll do that at the end of the episode. So I'm going to go ahead and get out to the callers. You know the number. 1-425-569-5241. Press 1. Just one time to voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline. Time for the sponsors.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
We're going out to our ringer, KM Star. Talk to us, my friend. What is your immediate reaction on this Mayweather McGregor All Access episode 1?
It's funny. I only watched the first 20 minutes of the reaction show. I mean, of the you know, the Showtime thing, and only because you guys put it out on Patreon that you were going to do a reaction show. So my real feedback for you guys is that you guys are like beyond boxing fans. You are like boxing psycho fans. People like me, we're like the hardcore fans of our little groups. You know, amongst my friends, they come to me, talk to me, ask me about boxing, what's coming up, what's great. And literally, you guys put us to shame. It's insane the amount of content you guys are willing to put out. 11 o'clock on a Friday night, it's crazy. From what I saw, though, production value is getting better for Showtime, I think. I mean, that was my real takeaway. Like, I looked at it, I was like, wow, this is great. And my initial reaction within 5 minutes of watching it, I was like, yo, Showtime is like, they're hardcore fans. Like, I think their executive team must have crazy-ass fans, fanboys like us on it. And HBO's team had great production people, but it really was like business, you know? Their executive team are just business people. That was actually my takeaway, because they just keep getting me more and more hyped for this fight. Even though, like, I'm on the boxing side of the fence. Like, this is so awesome for just combat sports. Like, literally, no matter what happens in this fight, leading up to this fight, like, the younger people, because I think MMA is actually more younger group of guys versus me. I'm over 40, actually. You know, this is only going to, like, make us have more in common. I'm so hyped for this fight. You guys need to keep covering it. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are doing an awesome job. I can't believe I'm even calling in at 11 o'clock on a Friday. Thanks a lot. Peace out.
Great call, as always. Well, Matt, there you go. Just in case you thought we weren't covering it enough, or, you know.
He's the ultimate optimist.
That's good. That's what we need around here. I like optimism, man. For real. Glass half full, never empty, never empty. You can put that on a shirt, quote from Young Ali. Let's go out to some alumni calls. We're going to go from KM Star to Atlanta. I think this is going to be his third time today, man. Three times a charm.
I told y'all a long time ago, the Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, down goes Kirkland. Step me up.
Next, I got milk, baby.
Yeah. The milkman is back for the three-peat with TBV.
So I guess I'll kick off and be the first official hater of the night. I just wasn't that impressed with the episode, man. It was so-so, man. You know, I was looking for something new that I hadn't seen before, and I just felt like I just got a rehashing of four press tours that I had already seen. You know, it was cool to see, like, some different angles and shit, but, I mean, after watching this shit on YouTube and on TV, it just felt like it was kind of just boring. I just saw the same shit again. Now, I bet, this is what I think. I have my crystal ball in front of me. I'm willing to bet right now that they don't really do a origin story on Connor. I think that they're taking the Amazing Spider-Man approach and Batman versus Superman. You have these huge names that pretty much most people already know who they are. So I think they're just going to jump right into where they are right now, and they're going to focus on what they're doing right now. I don't think that they're going to try to do an origin story, man, which is disappointing to me because I really would like to get some background on Connor, stuff that I haven't seen before, but that's what I think. So first episode, we can only look forward to the future. So that's my call, man.
Milkman, thank you for calling in with the three-peat. Appreciate it as always. Matt, Milkman says no origin story. Do they at least give us the origin story on Malignaggi, or does he just pop up and it's like, oh, he's sparring? Or are we going to get that Lee Schreiber kind of voice? Because that's not Lee Schreiber either, right? Like, how the hell is Ray Donovan doing HBO and not fucking Showtime?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but are we going to get that voice saying, like, Paulie Malignaggi enters the camp of Conor McGregor after a verbal sparring session on social media, saying, challenging the UFC star that whatever, you know.
I hope to God it's not that voice, but yes. Yes, I absolutely believe we're going to get some sort of narration on how this fight got made, how these two guys came to the spot. There has to be, because Showtime has to realize it's potentially catering to people that don't know either of these guys, or at least knows one of them not well. You know, there's people that know Connor that don't know Floyd. There's people that know Floyd that don't know Connor. There's people that know both. There's people that don't know either. You got to figure out a way to sort of tell the story. And I feel like they have to tell the story. And Connor's is the easiest. It's only 4 years. You go back 4 years ago and he was on social welfare programs in Ireland. Like, you just go back to there, and it's 4 years, and you quick, and it's...
No, you say that like you're taking a shot at him or something. What's up with that?
No, I think that's an amazing thing, that the fact that in 4 years, he went from social welfare programs to now he's fighting for over $100 million.
I quadruple my net worth within half a fight. Yo,
That's something that they have to push.
You know what would be amazing? If we could get the same amount of people watching to hit thumbs up button and turn it from gray to blue, that would be official. Let's go back out to the callers. We're going to go out to New Jersey. We got Amin on the line. Amin, what is your initial thoughts, immediate reaction on this All Access Episode 1?
When I saw it, I immediately said to myself, I'm about to go get some bud because this shit is boring. I thought it was boring because, like, Milkman said it was a recap of what we already seen. And I think the most telling scene was when they walked through the little, you know, hallway area. And it was just like, hey, what's up, little guy? And then McGregor's walking through kind of like, the stick is still on. It's still on. I'm still doing it, man. I'm still doing it. And Floyd's sitting there playing on his phone like, yeah, okay. All right, man. And it's like, I felt like that moment, they were still trying hard to keep it going. So you got to remember, Floyd got a history of fighting the big show, some WWE shit. So he knows showmanship. He knows, you know what I mean, that element of it. And initial reaction, immediate reaction, brother, I was bored. I'm hoping they get more into sparring and you know, different trainers coming in, different conditioning, who's doing what. But, you know, I'm not saying it dismissively. I'm just saying it because I don't know, man. I can't get them 30 minutes back, but it's all good. That's my call.
I wonder if it's really 30. I mean, I felt like it was a 20-minute show, to be honest with you. I'm like, yo, what the hell? Did I miss something? Matt, looks like we got a 317. You sure that's not Superman?
No, that's not Superman.
Black
Superman. I can make sure.
I can make sure.
I'm absolutely sure.
317, first time caller.
Yeah, first time caller. Nap time in the house, man. Indianapolis.
One more. Let me go ahead and play this first time caller intro. You go ahead and just say your name and let the world know where you're calling from.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Hey, it's Cyrus, man. Calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. Yeah, I thought this stuff was garbage, man. I ain't gonna lie. I actually been following this thing for the last month or so since they announced the fight. Just like the last caller said, man, I've been on YouTube all day just watching the build-up, and all they did was just, kind of did like a little recap, and it was just the same thing that we've been seeing for the last month. I thought it was kind of lame how they show a former with the bodyguards and all that, how he's talking to former Voltron. We didn't really see that, because obviously it's kind of scripted, you know?
Yeah, that bothered me as well. That's what I said. I didn't know how to take that. I was a bit disappointed.
Obviously, it was scripted. He said a code word, and they did something. So, I mean, obviously, they planned that beforehand. I don't know why that's a shocker.
I'm just saying. I mean, it just ain't look.
It was lame when it was live. It was lame then. It's lame now.
It was, and we did laugh at it post, but
enduring.
Even worse now that he's like, hey, and he's like all happy about it. He's like, yo.
I got him, right? Do you see him? He was mad.
Yeah.
Point to the easy work.
Hey, Cyrus.
They need to show us a whole lot more.
Hell yeah, they do.
It's just like, because for me, I'm a pretty hardcore boxing fan. I've done some boxing myself, and I got some YouTube videos about this fight. They need to show the egg for a fan something more so we can have something to tell to the casual fans. Because the casual fans, they're going to ask us about this fight regardless. So they're going to ask us about it. They need to give us something else so we can have something new to tell them, you know?
Yeah, man. It's going to be hard to tell anybody anything about a guy that's never boxed. You know, I was giving this so much thought. Listen, Cyrus, I want to thank you for calling. I'm going to get to some other callers. Matt, I was giving this fight, obviously, thought with the shows that we've been doing and, you know, obviously All Access airing today. And I'm saying to myself, how does Conor McGregor even know how to block? Honestly.
Wait.
Yes.
Like defense. Block a punch?
Block a punch. And I'm not saying parry. I'm saying earmuffs up, block a punch.
Are we acting like he's never boxed before in his life? Like, the guy does have some sort of amateur record. He does in his teenage years. He went he had 20 amateur fights.
I'm telling you, man, it will serve Floyd Mayweather right to go straight to the body. I just don't see this dude being able to block traditionally.
I just think it's funny that's the question you have. Like, can he block a punch? Yeah, I'm fucking assuming he can block a punch. Like, he's put on boxing gloves beforehand.
Yeah, well,
every camp for an MMA fight, you realize they put on boxing gloves to spar, right?
Yeah. Okay, but they're also freaking still grappling, throwing kicks.
The way to block a punch to the body is the
different.
Same
it's a totally different spar. Remember, in my gym, MMA fighters come to my gym.
I understand that.
They've sparred there.
I understand that.
You know, and I'm talking like MMA on the mat. That's what the mat is there for. You know, they've sparred there. So I see it. They even use shin guard padding and all that. Yes. They got a bunch of padding on. You know what I'm saying? But it's different than being against the ropes.
But we also see
someone walking you down. And you being against the ropes with no way out, and he ripping to the body.
Let me put this in perspective.
You'll see.
No, very quickly, let me put this in perspective. We have a UFC fighter.
Never.
Hold on, very quickly. We have a UFC fighter in your gym, Lyman Good. Lyman Good just lost this last week, unfortunately. Shout out to you, Lyman Good. He lost in a close decision. Close decision. It was a good fight. Really good fight.
But what? It was like more grappling and shit? Or?
No. They were duking it out. I'll send you a link. Don't worry. It was a good fight.
How did he lose? That dude was in super duper duper shape.
And think about this. He was sparring a legit light heavyweight contender, Marcus Brown, and doing decent, right? We can say he was doing decent.
I mean, yeah.
Lyman Good is nowhere near the title picture in the UFC. I would assume a champion is getting some high-level boxing sparring.
Yo, but Lyman ain't blocking like that. Yo, Hawk is an amateur, and I told you, Hawk gave it to him before. I told you that. You know, this time around, you know.
I've never seen Hawk spar, so.
Yeah, you unfortunate.
He had the cut, you know.
Unfortunate. Bro, listen.
Anyways, digressing.
It's the blocking, and we'll see come fight night. We'll see come fight night. Yo, dude, the especially McGregor, to me, it seems like he's used to fanning. You know what I mean? He's got his hands up. He's always used to trying to catch and parry shit. It's different, especially with an accurate puncher like Floyd. You just can't.
I think that's more of a style thing, sort of like Prince Nassim. Like, you know how Prince Nassim was like that way in boxing? I think that's more of a style thing than a tactical or technical thing. In terms of him being wild like that, he does do that, but I think it's more of a style than a technical thing.
Remember the Zab Judah Danny Garcia fight when Danny hit him with the right hand and he dropped Zab, right? He caught that shot. Mm-hmm. He caught Zab's shot with the left, boom. Countered back with the straight right. Man, McGregor ain't gonna be able to do that. It's not in his DNA to keep his hands up. You understand what I'm saying? To answer the phone. Like Mayweather throws the right hand. Excuse me. He throws the jab. That right hand is up. That's part of him. You know what I'm saying? That's like the movie Any Given Sunday, right? And is it Omar Epps who they tap the ball and he's got to run and dive in the college classroom? He's diving for the basketball because from the beginning they teaching you to they teaching you to do something. And with Floyd, that's how it is, bro. Your hands is always up. I just don't see it with this guy. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see, but I'm banking on him not having official defense, please. I seen Chris Van Heerden touching his dude up before this fight was even a thought in anyone's mind. That sparring footage of him and Van Heerden was out there, bro.
Connor, not in every way, I'm just saying.
Look at the casual Enrique on the check-in. That he says it was all access was fine.
Casual, just jump on the air, dude. I know you're listening. Connor is similar in this way to Adrian Broner, where he is such an offensively gifted fighter that at times it makes his defense look better than it actually is. Connor defensively has never been great. He's always been an offensive, dynamic, explosive striker, but his defense has always been suspect in a striking battle. He can always be caught. Similar with a guy like Adrian Broner, who's fighting this weekend, obviously, so there's that comparison. So I think that, yeah, of course Connor has defensive issues. And against a guy like Floyd, he's going to get tagged a lot. Like, Floyd's going to be able to touch him at will with Floyd's accuracy, speed, reflexes.
Connor going to think he's going to walk Floyd down doing this old...
Oh, God. It's going to be bad.
Hawaiian, Honolulu. What's that other shit that the Brazilians do? Capoeira.
Yeah, Capoeira.
Floyd's going to be fucking stab-jabbing the shit out of that little teddy bear he got on his stomach. Let's go out to some callers because we kind of... causing a traffic jam here. We're going to go to 760. Hopefully my producer can get this down. 760, what's up? First time caller? 760, first time caller. 760, first time caller.
No. This is Mike Jerry.
Mike Jerry, what's up, brother?
Hey, not much, man. Hey, man. Yo. What y'all talking about tonight, bro? Like I was doing homework, so I was like, "What's
the immediate reaction to the All Access episode?" The immediate reaction to the All Access Mayweather McGregor tonight.
Yeah, it definitely was dull because I followed the pressers from LA all the way to England and that stuff like that. So it kind of was a waste of my time even anticipating and watching that show.
Yeah.
So I just want to say I'll play, man. I feel bad for the people that, you know, follow every presser, and then you just, all you got was a goddamn recap. But once again, yo, y'all on top of it. Appreciate what y'all do. And, man, I'm back to the grind, bro. Y'all have a good night.
All right, Mike Jerry on the check-in. Thanks for calling. You know, that kind of sums up everybody's feeling, Matt. It's like, yo, if you followed this the way that we did, I remember us in Florida kind of sitting around the patio and the, you know, backyard deck out there. Just
we were sick of it back then by London.
Yeah, we were because it did seem scripted because we kept hearing the same thing. That's why, like, the
Sean Floyd side
joke with TBV is, yeah.
Point to the easy work.
Oh, man. Let's get out to Rico in San Antonio.
Yo, what's going on, man? Just want to say,
What's up?
Yeah, the All Access. Nah, man, it was pretty wack, man. It's pretty boring, pretty scripted. Just the same old thing from the what's it called? From the press conferences and all that. Just the same shit. So, just more of the same.
Are you excited at all for the second episode though? Because they did seem to preview the Pauly sparring. So we may get some footage of that.
Yeah, maybe if they show more sparring. If they show Connor sparring, if they show the actual video of him sparring with Pauly, that would be great. But if it's more of the same, then, I mean, I'm not interested at all. If it's just going to be more of the same.
Yeah, me neither. You know, I'm interested to see what these numbers do, Matt. I mean, the press conference numbers were doing mills, right? While I get to the other calls, can you just head on over to Showtime's YouTube and let's get a recap on where those press conference videos are now, total amount of views. I know that the All Access episode last time I checked was already almost at 5,000, so it's moving to be out like a couple of minutes ago. We're going to go out to Brandon in Houston, Texas. Talk to us. Immediate reaction.
Basically, I thought it was like kind of like, you know, when you're at a restaurant, they bring you your breadsticks, and then some places they bring you a salad. That's basically what I thought of the whole access thing. McGregor kind of looked a little flabby to me. Like, Floyd kind of looked like he was at weight already, and McGregor kind of just looked like he hadn't really put in the work yet. I don't know about y'all. But, you know, De La Hoya said that, you know, McGregor and Floyd's thing was taking over boxing. And he said that it was going to take away from Cotto and Kameda. But honestly, if Conor was fighting Kameda, nobody would be, you know what I'm saying? No one would be even interested in that shit. Because no one would even pick Kameda to beat Conor. Conor's much better a fighter than Kameda is. But they're sitting here trying to be like, oh, we're in competition and shit. And that's a shit fight. You know what I mean?
That shit is a shit fight. I don't know what the hell he was trying to say by that. But if he was trying to say that this is going to shadow a good fight in Cotto Kamagai, yeah, Oscar is still playing around.
So
that shit. Straight up.
But yeah, that's my call. Hit that thumbs up button.
You already know, Brandon. Thank you for calling me.
Some numbers. And I don't have all of them out here. I just typed in Mayweather versus McGregor press conference, and it brings up some of the UFC channels streams because the UFC also streamed them. So the LA press conference has 3.5 million views on the UFC's account. The Toronto press conference on Showtime has 3.1 million views. The Toronto press conference on the UFC's stream has 2.3 million, which is a combined 5.4, or roughly, I actually rounds up to 5.5 million views. The New York press conference for the UFC has 3.2 million, and the London press conference for the UFC has 4.1 million views. Upward trend from there, as you can see from each press conference. Big numbers. I mean, you're looking at 2 to 4 million plus on each account for each press conference. Those are big numbers.
Very big. So what is going to be our guesstimation for this particular All Access episode that...
And we're talking about like Nielsen ratings, right? We're not talking about...
No, we're talking ratings on YouTube.
On YouTube?
They have this All Accesses on YouTube. That's why I told you to go to Showtime. You're telling me Showtime has a video. Whoa. Showtime has a video for every press conference.
I understand that. I'm not going to read every single one. They all have the same rough numbers. the listeners understand the point. I would assume that it's going to do around the same for the All Access. It's going to do around 2 to 5 million views.
For that, that would be impressive if each episode can continue to get 2 million views. I mean, you know, I know those press conferences did a lot, but you know, that was the initial hype. Oh my God, it's happening! Is it really happening? Yeah, man, it's that. But now, it's like, yo, training time. I don't know. You think that a four-part series, each one is going to get 2 million minimum?
Yeah, easily. Yeah. And then you have to also include the Nielsen ratings. Because remember, that is a – I mean, people don't really care about it sometimes anymore. I know you really don't care about that sometimes.
Well, yeah, I'm interested to see what it did on Showtime. It aired on Showtime.
Especially compared to fights. Like, that would be interesting. If this does maybe – 700,000 to 900,000 views live. That beat most fight cards.
I'm interested to see, man. I'm interested to see that little last metric, little last piece of information. So do you want to go out to this mystery call or do we wrap this one up?
It's up to you. It's your show.
Oh, leave it on me.
If you want to risk what this obvious troll caller is going to say, you go for it, man.
Hello, sir.
Or ma'am.
Hey, are you a bitch ass nigga, man? Fuck you.
Why? Like, why?
Yo.
Why? Like, why do you do this? Like,
no, because it just...
What satisfaction do you get out of life?
Look at my smile. Look at it.
Not you. I'm talking to the caller, by the way. You sick, pathetic fuck. Why do you... Why? Like, what...
Dude, I don't... I just... It's funny to me.
Their life's that lame. Like, that's sad.
No, man. His life isn't lame. Dude, we're that popular. That dude sat there...
just to say some shit.
Fucking 50 minutes.
And he heard us, like, talk shit. And he was like, oh, man. Like, I have to get off as many cuss words as I can. Yeah. He just started going. You can tell, man.
There he is, bro. Like, we are blowing up. Shout out to our stalker. It has been real. So, final thoughts. When you hear that beat, you already know I'm ready to ski, ski, ski. Yo, Mayweather better change up the script. I would like to see some origin and some boxing. Give me some boxing. I want to see, you know, the way that Mayweather's like beating the heavy bag, you know, that you get that every single All Access, him hitting the heavy bag. I want to see Conor doing that. I want to see his technique. I want to see what he can do with gloves on.
Oh my God.
I want to make sure his feet stay on the canvas. Yo, I wonder, it's not illegal for you to jump, right? What if he jumps around a little bit just to confuse Floyd?
Boston fans would be so confused. And
they'd be like, yo, what the fuck, boo? Yeah, like you know, if Floyd's trying to run out of the corner, right, he just jumps. Just hops over there and cuts him off. Like, wait a minute. Oh, that would be hilarious. Is that Brewski?
I'm not looking. Let me see. No, that's not Bruce.
Well. Yo, I am your host, Ness GTO. Final thoughts, All Access. I want more Mayweather girls, more of the girl with the orange coming out the black truck. Make sure she's back.
Yes. High priority right there for Showtime.
High priority.
Yo, the troll's back, man.
Yo. What else? That's it, man. What about you?
Final thoughts. I don't know. It's like this episode was something that wasn't new. And again, I don't know if I'm going to say anything that isn't new.
They put all the press conferences in a blender and gave it to us today. That was some fucking bullshit.
You know what's sad is that it wasn't like there's that many highlights. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, they burned through those press conferences.
You know fast. What I would have liked? That you know what they didn't give us, Matt? I'll tell you what they didn't give us. The audio after Mayweather grabbed that, McGregor grabbed that bag. Like, what did Floyd say in the back? Like, I know he's Those fucking bodyguards should have got their head chewed off. That was their fault.
Well, when you see that the executive producer of All Access is Floyd Mayweather himself, you're always going to get a slanted view. Let's be honest.
You're such a hater.
No, he gets final check. He gets to say what goes in this episode and what doesn't.
Yo, he don't have that much power. He's probably
executive producer.
He's probably just getting executive producer credits, man. Come on, bro.
Dude, if you don't think Floyd has some level of control, I think
not
you don't
control. Think maybe they let him see the fucking project.
You don't think he has final say so and saying like that doesn't go in there?
I don't know. That's your final thoughts? You want that Floyd has final control?
No, man, it's Floyd, man. He's gonna be the next Al Heyman in like 20 years. Let's be honest. But anyways. I'm Matt Tipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Facebook, etc. I was also on another podcast, The Loaded, Joe's MMA podcast on Facebook and iTunes yesterday. Go check that out. It's released. So yeah, peace.
Rivadurchi.